All right, wonderful. Let's pray again. Let's ask the Lord to help us and guide us in this time. Father, we thank you that you've not left us orphans, but you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we may, Lord, continue to listen to you, to continue to hear your voice, and continue to have the grace to live out all that you've commanded us to do. We pray also that you would give us at this moment ears to hear, mouths to speak, and whatever we need to take your word into our lives. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we had a word on the breakthrough, and it's interesting because I'm going to do a little bit of a mishmash of things this morning. Firstly, by just referring to before that, I'm just referring to three of the four talks that were given in the last month, because we were not here, we were in London for most of that time. We refer firstly to Michael's talk on covenant, on commitment, really, on us being, as Christians, we have to be committed somewhere to some cause of Christ. Otherwise, the church doesn't grow. The church starts to go backwards. We cannot live as individuals. And therefore, you know, we need to be committed somewhere. And we need sometimes to have clarity about what that commitment means. And he shared that very, very well, which he always does. Then Simon talked about when we do that, we build on the rock. That means we build on... Yeah, the two builders, one build on the rock. He had the that little episode here with Paul Ashiak about the building. One had solid ground, the other one didn't have solid ground. It got washed away very quickly by the floods. So another thing that we need to do, besides being clear on what we're committed to, is we need to know that then we're building on solid ground. We're building with prayer, with the word of God, fellowship, forgiving, the things that Jesus commanded before that parable about the building of on the rock and the one who doesn't build on rock, where Jesus says this is how you should live your life in Luke there, in the chapters of Luke prior to that scripture. I think it was in Luke chapter 7. So, also, then we had Ben Gray, who last week went through a number of things, and he gave us 5 points about Habakkuk. And Habakkuk lived in a time when he was questioning God, and he questioned God on behalf of the people. Most of the prophets were God's mouthpiece to the people, but Habakkuk was more a mouthpiece of the people to God. And he was like many of us. He had his problems with life and with God and with what was happening to the people. In our case, the church. In his case, the people of Israel at the time. What was happening to them. And he made his case heard. And we get that famous line which the Apostle Paul picks up on, that the righteous shall live by faith or by faithfulness. The righteous shall live by faith or by faithfulness. The Apostle Paul quotes that. So it was a very important phrase. And there were 5 points that Ben Gray gave us. It's always good to reflect on a talk. I found even doing this myself, I found things that I didn't hear on the day when he was speaking, maybe because I was a bit jet-lagged. Just got off the plane, but... Nevertheless, I wasn't totally in tune with what he said. But he gave these 5 things. First of all, he said that Habakkuk was very important because he kind of captured, in a sense, what's happening in our time as well. And there were 5 things that he said that were important at this time for us, for the church in large. And some of them are obvious. The first one is always obvious, is prayer. Prayer, prayer. So prayer personally and corporately. Now, we do have enough corporate prayer here. We do. But it's our personal prayer that maybe, in some cases, needs to be addressed, not in all. That there will be turbulence at this time, which there is. There's a lot of turbulence in the world. If you look at what happened in Hawaii, where nearly 700 people were burnt, if not more, and if you saw the pictures of that, it's absolutely devastating. There's just nothing left. It's a total desert. It's horrible to see. It's a time of turbulence. At the same time, it's a time of outpouring. When I hear certain things that are happening in the Christian world, around the world, I'm very encouraged. There's a lot of wonderful things happening. God is still moving, and he's moving with us, and he's moving with people in a more, if you like, concrete way, or in a more powerful way, even though the rest is deteriorating outside. Thirdly, look at God over the seas, not our difficulties. And there's a scripture here which is very important, and that talks about that. And if we want to talk about breakthrough, this might be helpful. Psalm 29, verse 10 and 11 says, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." So the Lord blesses his people with peace, and he gives strength to his people. So when things are not going well, they may not be going well personally, they're probably not going that well overall, we got to remember that God is still on the throne. He's still in charge. He still runs this world, even though he allows people to sin and to do whatever they want to do, because he's given us free will. And the psalmist continues. He says that if we acknowledge, in our case, Jesus is king, okay, this was a psalm, but if we acknowledge God as king, so the Lord, and that the Lord is enthroned over what's happening in the world and over our lives, then we will be given strength, and we will be given peace. Strength and peace. Strength and peace. God gives us strength and peace, but we have to acknowledge the fact that he is king and Lord over us. Now, that's not always easy when we're in a mess. I remember many years ago, when I was a young Christian, I had a problem with depression. And I didn't have it all the time, but from time to time, when things didn't go so well, I could fall into this depression. In those days, there was no counselling, no psychologist, no tablets, nothing. So I only had God to depend on. And so I used to spend most of my Saturdays, when that happened, praying. And I would pray in tongues. And I know it's not easy, you know, when you're depressed, as you know, you can't just say to someone, snap out of it, because it doesn't work that way. You know, particularly if there's a chemical imbalance or whatever, it doesn't work that way. It may work 1 in 100, but usually that's the wrong thing to say to someone who's in depression. But so it wasn't easy. I really had to pray. I really had to believe the word of God, and I would persist in praying in tongues. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this in any way to boast or anything, with the grace of God, I was able to continue to pray. At one time, I think I went for 5 hours, and I broke through. I broke through in that. I was able to have victory over that. It took some time. It didn't happen in one session. There was some prayer along the way that I received as well, but I broke through. I really never ever had any serious problem with depression since that time. Because God gave me the grace to acknowledge him as king over the flood at that moment. He gave me the breakthrough you're talking about. That's why that word's important. But we've got to put it into context. We can't just get the breakthrough because we want it. That's good. That's the first thing. There's more to it than that. It has to depend on our ability to call upon God. And sometimes grace doesn't come cheap. You've got to persist at it. That didn't happen to me with one Saturday. It was probably a period of over a couple of months anyway, maybe 3 or 4 months. But victory came to me. I had that victory. I had that peace and I got that strength. And I've never ever looked back. Because God is good and God is really who he says he is. So it's very, very important that it can happen. Now I know that's not easy, what I just shared. Not everyone finds that easy. Not a lot of us need help from people. And I needed help too. I still had to get prayer. However, we need to look to him. You need to look to him. And it's like when the brothers and sisters with Chris came back from New Guinea. They came back and they saw all those miracles. They said, you heard them say this, they saw everything except the dead raised. It was a wonderful power encounter. Why? Well, one of the reasons was prayer. Also, obviously, the unity that they had, the disposition of their hearts, that they were all important. But one of the key things is that the people there don't have doctors. For example, cataracts were healed, heaps of them. Now, when I had a cataract in my left eye, I went to the doctor. And guess what happened? I got it dealt with by the doctors in a little operation. But the people there don't have that. They go blind. So you had many healings. Where are some of the people here? Is Chris around? Or is he upstairs? He's there. So how many people with cataracts were healed, roughly? Just a lot. Huh? A lot? A lot. Connor, how many? 50? So there were a lot healed. A lot healed. Why? There were other reasons, but one of the main reasons was they don't have anyone to rely on. So it's not an either or, okay? The reality is we need to go to doctors. We need to do the right thing. However, sometimes we put our more faith in other things than in God. And see, that's the challenge of us in the 21st century. Another example I can take, I haven't finished Ben's yet, but I can take from even the sporting things that happened yesterday. Now, it's good that people recreate and enjoy things. It was wonderful to see. However, do we let those things run our lives? How enmeshed are those? How much power do those sorts of things, drink and parties and football, whatever it is? I'm not saying that they're neutral in themselves, but how many of those things dominate our lives when God doesn't? If God dominates our life, then there's no problem with those things. But when those things dominate our life, as with most people, you've got a problem. Because, see, when they're dying, when they're taking their last breath, all that would matter is have they been faithful to Christ, to his church, to his gospel, to his people. That's all that will matter. And all those great moments, even, you know, those euphoric moments when you win something, which I've been part of sometimes about that, not that level, of course, but they go very quickly. They go very quickly. And when you talk to sports stars, if they're really honest, they usually fall into some depression after those moments because that euphoric moment, and then they go down, because if they don't have God, their life is empty and devoid of anything. And those things, are, as wonderful as they are, and again, I'm not putting them down in their own right, but they, if they get so enmeshed with our life, more enmeshed than the spiritual life, than the kingdom, if the kingdom is not able to be seen, if the kingdom is not evident, if the kingdom is not touchable, if you like, if the kingdom is not first, then, of course, these things will crowd out God and crowd out his power. Another thing that Ben said was that we should be prepared for something new, and we should. What happened in this year so far with moves of God have been very encouraging, particularly what happened there in Kentucky. And many people, anyway, I won't go into that, but be prepared for something more and new yet to happen this year. And the last one was, lift your eyes and rejoice. And there's a very, very wonderful scripture which at the end of this meeting, I'm going to ask, Johnny's going to play this from Lamentations. It's one of my favourite scriptures. It's in Lamentations 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never ceases. Even when we're clouded by our depressions and problems, and even our joys, our sporting or whatever joys we have, even when those things clouding our connection with God, God's love never ceases. It never stops. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Ben finished off by, there's a quote in the Psalms too about God's joy comes in the morning. So for the Christian, we're winners. Joy will come, even if you have a bad time, even if you get martyred. Joy comes, victory comes, because we don't live for this world alone. We live for eternity as well. So they were some of the things that he talked about. Now, what happens? What happens in life? Well, Jesus told us what happens in life. So I want to read now briefly, and then I'm only going to give a short talk today, and then we're going to pray after we do that song. In chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel, and there's a lot of talk about this, there's a lot of end time talk, but we need to get end time talk right. First of all, Jesus said, don't worry when you see all these things happen. A lot of people are so worried, but Jesus said, don't. So don't worry and don't get overly caught up in it. Be caught up in it to a point, but don't get overly caught up into it. And he said in verse 22, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not go out to follow them. For as the lightning flashes and the lights up in the lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in this day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So he's talking about that time at the moment. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out of Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I can go on and read. Now, you might say you shouldn't talk about these things. Well, Jesus talked about them. I'm not taking some obscure scripture in the Old Testament. This is Jesus speaking. This is not, you just can't be argued with. It's his own words. He says these things himself. Yes, you can get other scriptures. Some you can interpret them wrongly, or you can interpret them in a particular way. But this cannot be interpreted wrongly. Jesus is very clear about this. That even though people are saying you got all these signs, which there are these signs, you know, gospel being preached, the Jewish people coming to the Lord, apostasy in the church, heaps of them, earthquakes and all sorts of things. But there, at the same time, Jesus is saying everybody's going to be normal. That's what he says. So when we get scriptures, we've got to make sure we hear all the scripture, not one only. So Jesus is saying most people are still, you know, and if you look at what happened in Hawaii, most people in the world are still living normal. They're not, it's not impacting us at the moment. So people will still be doing these things, still at the pub, you know, watching the football. That's all right, doing those things. However, Jesus warns, be on the alert. That's why you're here today. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. That's why we make commitments. That's why we give to the works of God. You know, that's why we do that. Because we believe in the scripture. And things are probably going to get worse. They will. And things will get better as well. But Jesus said, remember, when you see all these things, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't get too caught up on them. That's what he said. You can read it for yourself in the Bible. It's not in this scripture. It's in another scripture. So, how do we summarize all this today? Well, God's in charge. If we want the breakthrough that we believe the word of the Lord gave us today, then we've got to look beyond the cloud that's over us and the depression, for example, that I had, or the whatever it is that you're going through, loneliness or whatever. We've got to look beyond the cloud to over it to see where the Lord sits on that. And we can only do it by looking to him and by getting prayer. And by asking the Lord to break through. For some of us, it might be illness. We might have some sickness or disease or some condition. We need victory in that, that God can give us the victory. Look, many a time Jesus prayed more than once. The key is that we've got to keep praying for something. We very rarely see being prayed once and a person being totally healed. But it's very important that we keep persistently. Remember in the early days of the community, there was somebody in our cluster who had cancer and they were given the death knell. What we did, at that time, because we were smaller, we had prayer with this person that was happening not 24 hours a day, I think, but it was during daylight hours. Now, that person lived. She has died since, but lived many, many years after that, probably for a good 15 or 20 years, because, I believe, of that persistent prayer. We just didn't pray once. It was intentional, rotational prayer, and we'd go and pray in tongues and pray over her day after day. It went on for months. So it's very important that we said, well, I don't want to say, oh, I had prayer about that, you know, 6 months ago. No, well, you can pray again. You can pray. You can ask God you can ask for more prayer. It doesn't hurt. Keep getting saturated in prayer, because the more prayer you have, the better it is for you. So we build the kingdom. We're here to build his kingdom, because there's another kingdom out there. And it's not always overtly evil. It's where the devil gets part of where things are neutral. And they take our mind and they take our heart. If our heart and mind are taken by the neutral things, then we go basically into the influence of the kingdom of darkness. If our heart and mind get taken over by God, then basically we've moved under the influence of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the first words he said when he started his public ministry were these words, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. It's close. It's in you. It's around you. It's over you. It's yet and not yet fully consumed, because for it to be fully, we have to enter the next life. So it's all those things, all those things. And so the Lord wants to encourage us this morning. He wants us to remember that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, his mercies. You know, one of the best prayers to pray, particularly when you don't feel you've got faith. I know it's okay for faith preachers to preach about faith. I think it's very important. They're very important thoughts. But another one that's very important, when we don't have the faith, we don't condemn ourselves, but you know what we do? We cry out for God's mercy. Lord, this has been a prayer in the church for, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I'm at your mercy. I can't do anything. I don't even have the faith. But I put myself on your mercy because I know you love me, and I know you are interested in every area of my life.